Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4 this evening. And you're going to find out as you're turning there, what a chapter is going to be. The chapter of the parable of the sower, right? Brethren, we're in springtime, and there's no more fitting parable than this one right here, but also fitting when it comes to the Word of God and the teachings of our Savior Jesus. Because this parable right here, it really stands as the head of all the parables in Scripture. At least in the Synoptic Gospels. We're talking Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But this parable right here seems to be the key to the other teachings of Jesus. In this parable, when later questioned by His disciples, Jesus said, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" Again, this story right here, it's really dealing with the condition of the heart. How are future prospective prospects going to receive the implanted Word of God? And really to help the disciples and us today, because we're going to bring the Word of God to other people, and we're going to encounter different types of responses as we sow the seed of our Lord's kingdom. Good evening. It's good to be here to serve our God together. We've been here now for 2 weeks, and we've really enjoyed the warmth, the kindness, and the acceptance. And of course, we should be the champions of that as the Lord's people. Again, just blessed be the tie that we have this relationship where I can come here. Steve knows me. I know some of you folks here already, but I can come here and preach the Word of God, and you be here sitting down with open hearts. Let's go ahead and read this parable together. Pick it up in verse 1. "And again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on the ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased produce to some 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Behold, the sower went out to sow in verse 3. It may be as he was in the boat, Jesus actually saw across a field at some point and actually pointed to a sower doing that work as he was telling this story. The fact that he said, "Behold," and called him the sower instead of a sower might mean just that. But again, in the age before Lowe's and Home Depot or mechanical equipment, nothing runs like a deer. The sower had to sow by hand. He placed his seed in his satchel or his man bag or this bag right here, strapped across his shoulder, and scattered handfuls on either side of him as he walked through the field. This method meant that the seed not always fell on the most fertile of land, but this was the method nonetheless, and that's what he did. In verse 4, some seed fell beside the road. The translation I read tonight, New King James Version, don't throw your Bible at me, Steve, says it fell by the wayside. That was a strip of ground that fell in between the rows that was used for planting. It was where the sower walked as to not step on the crops. In Luke's account, he says the soil was trampled underfoot. Luke 8 and verse 5. "And the birds came up," Mark chapter 4, verse 4, "since the ground was hard and beaten down, there was no place for the seed to go. That made it easy for the birds to come along behind the sower and eat the seed." Verses 5 and 6, "And the other seed fell on the rocky ground." This was not ground that was full of pebbles and rocks, but really a thin layer of topsoil that covered limestone or bedrock. where it says it did not have much soil. The seed was able to penetrate the ground, but could not through the rock. The only place where the seed could grow was up. After the sun had risen, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. That's key. Because there was no root system or reserves from the seed to draw from. So when the sun came out, Luke says it died because it had no moisture. In verse 7, and the other seed fell among the thorns. The seed was able to dig deep and get into the soil and grow both ways, but the thorns, the weeds, the thistles came along with it. So they both competed for what? The sunlight, right? The same nutrients and water. And eventually the thorns overpowered and choked out the life of the plants. Though the seed was able to grow some, it yielded no crop or fruits. Now we get to the one that we like. And the other seeds fell into the good soil. And this soil was fertile, right? It was deep. It was weed free. We like that. Weed free garden, I'm there. The seed sprouted, took root, it yielded a crop. The conditions were so that it produced 30, 60, 100-fold as much as it was sown. Let's read the rest of this parable, picking up in verse 10. But when he was alone, those around him and the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, a key word in the Gospel of Mark, and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, that deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter and choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I want to pull out four observations for you guys tonight to wrap up this lesson. Number one, a closed mind leads to a hard heart. A closed mind leads to a hard heart. Jesus, he identifies the seed being sown on as the Word of God. This is being sown to the hearts of men as they're hearing it, the Word of God. Though the sower, though us today as disciples broadcast the most beautiful words this world has ever seen, people are still going to deny that. I know. They're still going to reject this Word of God. Why? Why is that? Stubbornness. Pridefulness. They already have their own type of gods. They already serve their own other idols. They have their own presuppositions, their own biases. And now they're not going to let this right here infiltrate what they already believe, and it may be science. But they are not going to listen. It says, and when they do hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Paul warns about this. Paul warns about a heart that can become callous. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, and they having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Do we have any guitar players in the audience tonight? You can kind of give one of these if you are a firm shake. When you play guitar, you naturally just kind of build calluses on your fingertips as you're plucking the guitar strings. I remember my dad would come home, blue-collar working man, and I was like a little kid. He'd always say, "Look, son, this is a man's hand." He's like cuts on his knuckles, grease in his nails, of course, calluses all over his palm. But that whole idea means past the point of feeling. Don't let your heart become calloused. Past the point of feeling. Let the gospel message do its work. But it's not easily going to prick a hardened heart. That's kind of just part of it, right? Jesus is teaching in a way that divides people. No, I know there's unity in the church. But the way he teaches is going to divide between those who are just kind of outsiders or those who are truly seeking the Word of God. I mean, have you ever wondered why God just didn't put everything in the Bible? I mean, I would love for there to be Mark chapter 17 where it says, have faith, believe in the Word of God, confess Jesus, change your will, wash away your sins by immersion, by baptism, and then you confess and you live a faithful life. I would love that chapter to be in the Bible, but it's not. Why? I mean, God can understand there's going to be tons of questions. He could anticipate all the misunderstandings. He could make this black and white as that we could understand it. Again, he could forecast and anticipate everything. But he's teaching in a way that divides people. And what I mean by that, that's nothing new. For he's come with a sword, right? To divide mother against daughter. Father against son, brother against brother, sister against brother. He's testing the hearts. He's testing how they listen. And if they're listening carefully, he's looking for seekers. So I want to ask you, how do you listen? Not hear. We can hear a bunch of stuff. But how do you listen? Because souls or on the line. Point number two. It's easier to become a Christian than it is to be a Christian. The seed is sown in some who immediately receive it with joy. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. They spring up, right? They're excited about it. They're soaking everything in. We would say, that person, they are on fire for God. They have a passion. They have a zeal for the Lord. And folks, it's absolutely contagious. But because of the layer of rock underneath the surface, they don't build the strong foundation for their faith. So Mark says, with affliction and persecution arises because of the word, they immediately fall away. Do you see that? They immediately accept it. Now they immediately fall away. As quickly as they receive the word, as quickly as they leave the word. I want you to hold your place there in Mark chapter 4, but venture with me to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, I want to pick up in verse 8. Here he's talking about being fruitful and letting your faith grow. But in verse 8 he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten he was once cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's confidence, and that's comfort. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, another question. Do we have any green thumbs in the audience tonight? Any green thumbs? Again, just give one of these things or maybe a slight nod. Well, if you're not, I think we understand that plants need what to survive? Nutrients. They need light, energy, water. But they need established roots for them. That's going to be essential to withstand the trials and temptations for us. We need the deep understanding. We need the deep type of faith. My wife, she's a second grade teacher. And just where the, I guess you say the world, where the world is these days, it seems like a lot of parents just kind of drop off their kids saying, all right, we haven't been doing a lot of teaching at home, but we know you can do that for us. And so they're teaching them a lot of things. But it's really worsened, it seems like, over the years. You know, we're not really doing a good job of parenting either, so not only could you teach my child, but could you also parent them a little bit too and teach them some responsibility? I mean, she's teacher / parent in second grade. We'll drop them off. The teacher will do the work. I think there's sometimes we have that same type of mentality when it comes to service. You know, this week, man, I just really haven't gotten down on my knees to pray the prayers that I need to. This week it got really busy. We were doing some good things, but it got really busy, and I forgot to do that lesson on Wednesday and Sunday. But guess what? We got faithful teaching and preaching. Steve's going to feed me anyway. Is that us? That's not really how you build deep roots. We got to dig. We have to study. We're going to have to put in the work. Back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. He's saying, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. In verse 9 he says, he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. Yes, we have ears. Yes, we're hearing. But again, this the idiom saying, listen, verse 3. Listen, verse 9. And take it in. We got to put in the work for those roots. Point number 3. Distractions can easily crowd out convictions. Distractions can easily crowd out convictions. Unlike the first two soils, this kind of heart receives the word and lets it grow and take root, right? We're off to a good start. But people or others, they can carelessly, without thinking, let other things grow in their lives and not noticing what it's actually doing to their faith. Jesus identifies these cares as the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Three things right there. The first one, you're kind of like, the worries of the world, yeah, I mean, I get that, right? Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's going to provide, take care, feed, shelter, clothing. I kind of get that. I need to be anxious about the kingdom, not the world. Two, the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, I'm rich and blessed in Jesus. These things will fade away. What's the famous saying? I can't take it with me, right? I think we can kind of get that with the spiritual minds. But number three, and the desires for other things? It's those other things. To you, they're not like, well, this isn't a blatant sin or a blatant wrong choice, but these other things can consume your time, your energy, and your life. Before you notice it, these things take over and they cover up the most important thing. And when I think about this, I can't help but think of Martha and Mary. Here's Martha, they have Jesus. I mean, they have the Son of God in their house. And she's really consumed by serving. I'm not sure what all that entails. Maybe she's getting this really good bread ready, busting out the old English and polishing furniture, sweeping, mopping. We're thinking, this has to be Proverbs 31, this Martha. But what does Jesus say? It's your sister Mary has chosen the better thing. Your sister Mary has chosen the good part. This approach to life, it doesn't bring up fruit to maturity. We can't be productive in the Lord's vineyard if we allow things and stuff to distract us from why we are truly here. So I want to ask you, what are your thorns and weeds and thistles? I think we all know how busy each day can get with work, school, entertainment, and other pursuits. It's almost like the American dream, right? The more you do, the more you can accomplish, the more successful you are. But we're kingdom citizens first. But do you believe that? I mean, modern life, let's face it, it is really geared to pull us away from this right here. So many things going on. Where do we find the time to do what's most important? I want to say this, and you guys, I think, know this. The thing we give the most time to, the most attention to, that's going to grow and flourish. I pray that it's our faith that's doing that. You know, for some, myself included, it's time to do some more spring cleaning. But with our spiritual lives. So if we don't do that, if we don't clean up the weeds, they're just going to grow deeper and stronger. Number four, the healthy heart hears, it keeps growing, and it keeps sowing. Mark chapter 4, verse 20, it says, they hear the word and accept it. We like that, right? They see the word of God, they hear the word of God, they listen, they receive it, it's good soil, they accept it. They let it germinate, they let it take root, they let it grow. Not just listen closely now, as a Sunday night sermon may go, but listen and let these words right here become part of you. Let these words right here consume you. Luke says they hear the word of God in an honest and good heart, and they hold it fast. So they don't discard it when persecution or tribulation comes. They don't discard it when they say, all right, God, I've been serving you, but this is not what I signed up for. Where's my blessing? Where's my health? Where are my kids? No, they endure because they know the seed. They know the true word of God. It abides forever. I want you to turn with me once again to 2 Peter. We were just there, and I want to revisit it one more time. 2 Peter chapter 1, but this time picking up in verse 4. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. 4. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For some of us, all of us, growth is not going to happen overnight. It's going to be this process, a little bit of patience. But I want you to hear it. I want you to listen. I want you to accept it. And the Lord wants you to continue. In the verse 20, they bear fruits 30, 60, and 100-fold. What is that telling you? Not only did they receive it and accept it, they are productive. Not only do they grow themselves, they sow the seed in other people. They bring others along with them. That's just it, right? You don't have a crop until you get the seed in contact with the soil. That's us, brethren. I want us to go sow that seed. We see those four hearts, right? Those are the hearts the disciples encountered. Those are the hearts that we encounter. I want you to do me a favor tonight. I don't want you to jump straight to the good soil and assume that's me. Yeah, soil number one, I know that person. Number two, I've seen them. Number three, I think they've been here before. Number four, that's me though. I don't want us to assume that. I think we all know tonight where we are in our spirituality. I think we understand what we need to do a little bit better to be the good and faithful servants. But tonight, that choice is yours. I believe you all have been listening. So let's make the difference. Let's make the changes so we can serve God and be productive citizens of His kingdom. I want you to thank you for your attention this evening. If there's any way that we can assist you, pray with you, study the Word of God with you, or if you're ready to change your life once again, or change your life to begin with, to serve our Savior and our Master, we invite you now. We stand and sing.